How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
We got it. Like, what was the old thing? It was like, you go, AI would always play, like, maybe it's their first time showing up. We got to record a podcast. Like, maybe this is their first time listening to Raining Jays.
That's it.
Recorded our best.
Can't get lazy. Can't get lazy. All right.
Yeah, we got to bring it tonight. Got to bring it tonight.
Okay. In that case, vocal exercises. Let's go. All right, here we go. You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melody.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Rain and Jays, all three of us here tonight. Me, John Corrales, Jay King from MassLive.com, Sam Packard from Ivy League schools near you, and ready to change the world. We're talking about, what else? Gordon Hayward, Paul George, Kelly Olynyk, Summer League, all kinds of things as we get...
The trifecta, the tripod, the Milton Berle.
That's it. That's us. Today, by the way, we're brought to you by the good folks at Boston Paintball. Go to bostonpaintball.com. Check out their three locations. Book a very fun night out for you, your family, your friends. So... let's start with the expected news, but of course everybody goes, it's happening! Gordon Hayward opted out of his contract and is now officially a free agent and will be meeting with the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, and then finishing it off with the Utah Jazz. So this throws out some of the, you know, crazy speculation of what if he does, what if he pulls a Chris Paul and doesn't really opt out and just forces Utah's hand? Or what if he does? He's a free agent. If the Celtics are going to sign him, they're going to clear the cap space, everything we've been talking about. So,
yo, you were freaking out on Twitter. Like, look, I think it's something we've never even considered the Celtics are going to do.
I will say this. I still believe that. I still believe that there's something out there, and maybe I'm just so exhausted by similar topics, but I do think that there's something out there that nobody's considering that we're like, oh wow, this is what Danny's gonna do. Like, once he pulls it off, and of course it might still involve signing Gordon Hayward, but there's part of me who's like, that's like something else. Danny's gonna do so. We're all zigging and Danny's gonna zag.
I think that's wishful thinking. It's you know what's going to happen is they're going to sign Gordon Hayward. We're going to get real hyped about a Paul George trade, and then it's not going to happen, and it will be kind of the exact same Danny Ainge story that we've had for the past 2 years.
But wait, now would that be the exact same story though? It'd
be the same story as signing Al Horford and not getting Kevin Durant. I mean, but it would feel similar in the fact that there is a larger fish to fry, and then it would come out that Danny Ainge wasn't willing to pull the trigger.
I have a hard time believing if he got Gordon Hayward and wasn't able to pull off a trade for Paul George, if he got Gordon Hayward, that people would be upset. And if they are, it's only because they let themselves get away and run away with these reports, and they all of a sudden they say there's two, there's potentially two. Oh my God. And now all of a sudden they're upset that there wasn't two. Like, if you just go,
well, we're already there. I think people are will be disappointed if this free agency doesn't end up in both Paul George and Gordon Hayward. I feel like Celtics Twitter is already like, you've seen the image of the new big four. Like, how many times have you seen that retweeted or like across the screen in Comcast Sportsnet? I feel like people already are expecting Paul George. They expect Paul George at this point.
That's
which
their
is kind
fault.
Of absurd.
That's their fault. I will be pissed if people get upset at Danny Ainge for only getting one star. Like, if in successive years he would have gotten Al Horford and Gordon Hayward, that's what more do people want? He couldn't get two superstars. So that, I don't know, that's asking a lot. And I know that
let's talk about this,
go ahead.
Let's talk about this. If he does whiff on everything, let's say Gordon Hayward returns to the Jazz and somebody else trades for Paul George. This summer all of a sudden feels like a missed opportunity for the Celtics because Jimmy Butler was traded and the Celtics could have surpassed that offer if they wanted to, or at least it seems like they could have surpassed that offer if they wanted to. And if they didn't have a backup plan, and if they don't sign Gordon Hayward, and if they don't trade for Paul George, I do think it's safe to say that this summer where they have cap space, and this is the last time that they'll really have cap space and the flexibility to go out there and acquire someone without losing like a huge chunk of their team, then I do think it would be a disappointment if Butler gets traded, if George gets traded, and if Hayward signs somewhere else and the Celtics get none of those guys, then that is and it would be a disappointment.
Yeah, sure. That would be a disappointment. We've geared ourselves up to get at least one of those guys. So yeah, it would be disappointing. However, I will counter with the Celtics have a backup plan in that they will not have given up any of their picks, so they will have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, potentially two picks next year or a lottery pick the year after that in addition to their own pick. They still have ways to build. This team is just going to go more slowly. But they will ultimately, if they whiff completely, they will ultimately start following the Sixers model in a sense, in that they will have built completely through their draft and organically picked up all of their stars that way. And just,
I can only imagine what John will say if they go the Sixers model.
But partly they didn't have to tank though. Thankfully they got the Brooklyn Nets to do their tanking. So it's not quite the same. But you know what I mean? They will have built through the draft and all of their stars will have been just selected out of college as opposed to other teams that are now assembling talent. Of course, I would love to have a team that takes the next step now. I would love for Hayward and Paul George to come in now and we can start fantasizing about how we match up against Cleveland and how we match up against Golden State. But it's very possible that Gordon Hayward does what most players would do, take an extra year, take the extra money, and just play it out. Or maybe Paul George just says he doesn't want to go to Boston, or maybe Kevin Pritchard keeps that stupid high price that he's allegedly asking for, and he values something else, and he goes this is all possible stuff. It's not like it's outrageous to say that he missed out on both of these guys. It's entirely possible. Hell, the odds are probably in favor of him missing out. But
do you think he's being like Danny Ainge is being too ambitious in trying to land both? Because you can see a scenario in which hypothetically the Celtics could trade for Paul George today, but in fact in waiting for Gordon Hayward to kind of make a decision, they open up the possibility for, because they, apparently they're not meeting with Gordon Hayward until July 2nd, and then he still has to meet with the Jazz the next day. They're opening up the possibility that maybe Magic Johnson gets like a little more nervous and throws Brandon Ingram in a trade, and or Maybe just the Cavs figure out what they're doing at GM or are able to figure something out. It's just the longer they wait for Gordon Hayward to make a decision, the more opportunity you're giving other teams to kind of swoop in with an offer. And with that being said, I still think the Celtics can top most offers and really play the trump card just by including the Brooklyn pick at any time. But the very fact that Danny Ainge is trying to get both players, it opens up – I feel like it just makes everything more risky. And it's just – instead of just going for one and trying to get both, it opens up to that kind of failure situation where you miss out. Gordon Hayward says, oh, I want to go back to Utah. These billboards are really meaningful to me. And then some other team gets Paul George via trade. Then you're pretty much screwed. Then you're all in on Blake Griffin. But who knows? What? Maybe he's already signed with the Phoenix Suns. So I think that there's inherent risk in going for both. It's the classic Danny Ainge high risk, high reward. And, John, you're right. Like the fallback position is just having a bunch of first-round draft picks over the next couple of years. But I think in waiting, there certainly adds risk to the situation.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I will say, like, I do think the Celtics – depending on what type of assets they want to unload for a guy like George, who has 1 year left on his contract, they have the most to offer. Like, that Brooklyn Nets pick, like you said, would be the trump card. I don't think they even have to include that to have the trump card. If they throw in the Lakers pick, that's something that none of the other teams that have been linked to Paul George as suitors can offer. And then they have Jay Crowder, who has a lot of value, Avery Bradley, who has a lot of value. Both those guys would probably have to be in the trade. And maybe Indiana doesn't want those guys because they want to go younger. But even if they try to flip those guys, like, they have value out there. And they could get more draft capital from that. The Celtics, like let's say they throw together, like, Lakers pick, Memphis pick, and their own pick. Like, that's three first-round picks. One of them could be in the top five or a lottery pick the year after that. And their own pick, and then Memphis pick could be decent. Like they have so much draft capital, and on top of good players on value contracts like Jay Crowder, that I don't see another team topping that offer. And I think that's why Indiana hasn't traded Paul George yet. Like, trading Paul George on draft night would have been very a feasible thing. They could have done that. But they're waiting for the Celtics. It feels like they're waiting for the Celtics, and they believe the Celtics have the best offer. And I think the same thing. Like, if the Celtics are willing to put their chips on the table, George is theirs, and I do believe that. And again, like, I think the same thing about Jimmy Butler, and the Timberwolves got him instead. So it doesn't necessarily mean George will end up with the Celtics. But if the Celtics decide, like this is the guy we want and we think we can sell him on the future, then they have enough chips to kind of, like you said, trump anybody else.
Yeah, I think the Celtics, the way they've been operating, they feel good about something happening. Like, if a team felt uneasy and that this was their only chance to strike, they would have struck by now. So there's a reason why Danny Ainge is holding so firm to his plan. He either A, feels like he's getting one of these stars in the offseason, so there's no need to go crazy by offering too much for Paul George. If he either feels like he can get Gordon Hayward, or he can trade for Paul George if Hayward doesn't work out. So he's got, that's A and B. Or C, he feels so good about his future with the draft picks that he's okay with being patient and letting Tatum and Brown and potentially two lottery picks next year kind of develop and work themselves out over time. So Danny Ainge is not operating like a guy that feels pressure to do a deal or else it's off the table. So now we're seeing in the days leading up to Saturday, which is the opening of free agency, the battle of the sources. So today, Mark Murphy came out with his league source that says, Celtics are waiting to hear back from Indy's Pritchard, but consider his current demand for Paul George unrealistic. Source added that the last demand was for next year's Nets and Lakers picks plus starting players. So it sounds like the Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder scenario might be what they're looking for. I don't know what else, what other starting players do the Celtics have? And both of those picks, and I'm positive that Danny Ainge does not feel like he has to match that demand for the picks. It doesn't have to, because no one else even has one of those picks, much less two. Why would he have to throw in both when no one out there in this sweepstakes can match even the Lakers pick, even with all its protections? So I say hang back. Let other teams, yeah, can't swoop in, but if the Lakers give up, what, Randall and Ingram and what else? Future picks? They still don't have future picks. So I just don't know that they can or that Houston can come up with a deal. And bringing a third team in to potentially add to the mix doesn't – that's so much harder to do. The Celtics can swoop in if they wanted to and get this deal done. And you know, like you said, they could flip Bradley. They could turn around and flip Crowder if they wanted to. That's more picks for them. They have an opportunity to restock their team very nicely just from the Celtics, and the Celtics can keep their own stuff to continue supplementing their, hopefully, stars moving forward.
There's reason to feel optimistic, too, if just in reading all the rumors. Sam Amick today of USA Today reported that Paul George is willing to consider an extension with the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Spurs. So clearly he's considering the Celtics as an option. And then Himmelsbach today said that the Celtics and Danny Ainge were like continuing to have talks with the Pacers this week, which is much different than we heard with the Jimmy Butler scenario. It sounded like the Celtics were not in on that whatsoever and kind of were not even kind of offering or just checking in to see if they could beat the offer. So I think there's reason for optimism. My question is that if you're going all in for next season and you're really trying to go after Gordon Hayward and Paul George, I understand that no one else can beat the offer, but at some point, I think a lot of the teams negotiating with Danny Ainge, and because the Celtics have so many assets, they're going to ask for more. And at what point the Celtics, do you just kind of have – at some point, you're going to have to bite the bullet and throw in, I guess – more value or so, like a kind of the grandfather offer. At what point do you just kind of say, all right, we're going for this title in the next year? Like, I don't know. It's throwing in the Nets pick next year sounds like a lot, but I don't know. It's Paul George we're talking about. Like, he's an amazing player, and at some point you just got to go out and get your player and say, screw value. We're going to have one of the best teams in the NBA next year, and we already are going to keep Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, who knows what that Nets pick's going to be? Like, just fuck it. Let's go for it.
Look, Danny Ainge has said from the beginning, he doesn't want to just chase a ring or a banner for the next few years. He wants sustained greatness. So I don't think he's going to compromise that. I think he knows what's out there. I think he knows the level that he's willing to pay. And I don't think he's willing to compromise that. And I really do honestly think, and this is just my own guess, I really think that the Justice Winslow pursuit from a couple years ago was a scared straight moment for him, because he nearly gave up everything for a shot at Justice Winslow. That's how enamored he was with Winslow. And it's only by sheer luck that Michael Jordan passed up an insane package that would have been, like, if you look at what it was supposed to be. And Danny Ainge has said as much, that it was way too much. If Michael Jordan doesn't pass that up, we're having a completely different conversation right now. And I'm pretty sure that Danny Ainge thinks about that pursuit and has now basically created more discipline, has now learned more discipline, and will not exceed whatever he and his staff have determined the maximum offer is for Paul George. So if the tipping point is we are absolutely not giving up that Brooklyn pick and we're fine with him walking, then that's the limit. if that's what Danny Ainge has determined. Now, I don't know if that's what he's determined, but I'm pretty sure whatever limit he has, he is going to stick to it, and he's not going to just go for it for the sake of going for it, because he does have that plan, I guess, whatever at this point is now, C, D, E, of relying on the extreme youth, and then you flip it to moving Isaiah Thomas and moving Al Horford and just going with that extreme youth movement.
You're out here trading Isaiah and Al, man.
I mean, that's like the last resort, right? If nothing works out,
53 games. They just won 53 games and were the number one seed, and they have a bunch of young talent. Like they could theoretically return the same guys and win 56 or 57 games because Jaylen Brown's better and Marcus Smart's better. So. I mean, I don't know if right away
trading Isaiah. You got a trade deadline, you got next summer, you got next draft. If nothing works out, if you whiff on completely everything, then you start looking at the next step. The next step would be you're basically, I don't know if I'm saying right away, but the next step is, all right, now we're going with Brown and Tatum and those guys, and now you start looking at you're probably not going to extend Isaiah Thomas at that point. You're not going to give him all that money, right? If you've whiffed on everything, are you going to give Isaiah Thomas that money? Or maybe he does. Maybe he does. Maybe he just renegotiates and extends, and he does that float along for 50 some odd wins, and hopefully we could go to that other scenario where eventually Isaiah and Al Horford just become those veteran guys that support the young stars versus the young guys supporting those guys.
Or you go out and trade for a star like Anthony Davis or Russell Westbrook, who could theoretically at some point become available, because like in New Orleans, they're going to have a hard time building the type of team that makes Anthony Davis stay. And I know he still has a few years left on his contract. It would be ridiculous for them to trade him now. But a couple of years from now, like, they're going to have to really think about it, because they ain't going to have the team that they need to compete. And they've done such a crappy job putting a team around him that Anthony Davis could hit the market in 2 years. And if he does, the Celtics, and these are things they have to think about. This is how long into the future they have to think about. Like, if you don't have Isaiah Thomas, if you don't have Al Horford, you can't convince him to stay. Like, you need those stars. You need those great players to convince Anthony Davis, like, Celtics are a good damn option. Like, if you go there, you need to you should resign with them, because they're competitive and you could potentially win a title. So those are things they have to think about in addition to all these other things. There are so many factors here, but that's one of them. And honestly, like, those are the situations beyond this year with Hayward and Paul George that the Celtics have to be looking at, because even if they get Hayward, even if they get George, they're still going to have Tatum. They're still going to have Jaylen Brown. They're still going to have probably the Brooklyn Nets pick. They're still going to have so many young pieces that they'll still be able to go out and at some point try to attract another star. And if that's the way they want to go, if they don't want to just keep those guys and groom them. So they're still looking at all those other situations. It really is like an unprecedented place that they're at right now with all the young picks and all the young players and all the current talent they have on their team. I'm not sure there's ever been a situation like this in the NBA, and if there has, it's very rare. So Danny Ainge, like, he holds all the cards. It just depends when he wants to use them. And I do think the thought of signing Gordon Hayward and trading for Paul George is a very attractive one. And obviously it would bring like huge, huge luxury tax bills down the road. But in addition to that, you could still like go out and try to get somebody else who's great with those other young guys at some point. It doesn't have to be this summer. But like, they could still build on that core. Like, it doesn't have to stop at four stars, which is crazy to think about. But like you could theoretically do that, and you could theoretically wait around for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to grow up and see what happens with those guys and then the 2008 Nets pick, or you could consolidate those guys and try to trade for another star. Like, it is an insane position the Celtics are in, and an insane position they could be in depending on what happens. But I do think this summer is critical because this is the last time they'll have cap space. And this is the last time they'll be able to go after free agents without...
Because of that, do you think if they whiff on Gordon Hayward, they'd be more willing to part ways with a piece like the Brooklyn pick for Paul George? Like, if I'm the Indiana Pacers right now, I'm sending him, like, Gordon Hayward, like, gift baskets from Miami or, like, talking him up about how great Utah is. Because they got to do – like, if the Celtics somehow don't come away with Hayward, it feels like the asking price for George skyrockets. And it feels like then the Brooklyn pick may actually be in play.
Counter argument to that, if Paul George goes to the Celtics without Gordon Hayward, there's a chance the Celtics are still in a similar boat to the way they were last year – and still falls shy of the Cavaliers, and he still looks for another place next season. Like, if you have Gordon Hayward and you have Paul George, you're going to be a great, great team. And even if they fall shy of the finals, even if they lose to Cleveland, it's going to be a competitive series. And he could at least convince himself, like, this team is built to compete for a long, long time. So I do think if you get Gordon Hayward, the thought of trading for Paul George might become more enticing. If you don't get Gordon Hayward, maybe you try to trade for Paul George and renegotiate and extend him. But I also think, like, if you do that, Isaiah Thomas better be on board, because if you're using his renegotiation and extension money to renegotiate and extend somebody else, he could be pissed off about that. And that's something that he could be fired up about, because, like, he's eligible for that same renegotiation and extension right now. And if you give it to George instead, like, maybe he understands, like, we need to get Paul George and we need to get him to commit long term. Or maybe he's like, I earned that money more than Paul George. I was second team all fucking NBA last year. and they should pay me instead. And that's something you need to know if you're the Celtics front office and you do go after a renegotiate and extend. And maybe that's not even something they're considering. Maybe it is. But the Isaiah Thomas situation, that's a delicate one, I think, because obviously he wants to get paid. Obviously he's been severely underpaid. He's one of the most underpaid players in the NBA, maybe the most underpaid player in the NBA. And if you give his money to someone else, he could be pissed off.
Is there any way we can, like, circumvent the cap and just pay Isaiah in, like, some sort of sponsorship deal? It's just, at some point, you like, the Warriors have an
Boston Paintball, how much you got for him?
Boston
man.
Paintball.
You guys need to go to Boston Paintball so they can circumvent the cap, and then they can have four All-Stars on the team.
You know what would happen if he went to Boston Paintball? He could pick from three different locations if he went to Boston Paintball.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. There are three. There are three locations. So there's the indoor night play in Chelsea. There's Maynard with the outdoor competition in Woods Ball Fields. And there's the 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland, complete with a hospital, airplane, army deuce, all that stuff. Great, great place to go take your friends. Go do that. Boston Paintball is a local business, guys. Started in Boston by Boston Celtics fans, listeners of this podcast. So go support a local business. Go support your friends who are also fellow Locked On Celtics podcast listeners. Go support a local business. They started in the shadows of the old Boston Garden, that garden that was there back in the day with that raised tee running by it. They were right next door. I played there when I was in college. So they've been around for a long time. Go check them out. Go to bostonpaintball.com. You're going to get a tour of all three of those facilities, a video idea of what you're going to get yourself into. They've got levels for every age, as young as 8. They've got the Splatmaster for 8-year-olds and 8+. They got the low-impact classic paintball for the 10-plus crowd, and they got the regular paintball for the rest of you guys, men, women of all ages. Go check them out. It's an awesome time. BostonPaintball.com. Use the coupon code GREEN. you will get $50 off a group package. That's bostonpaintball.com. You get $50 off a group package with the coupon code GREEN. All right, breaking news. Just in, according to Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe, the Celtics have officially offered Kelly Olynyk the qualifying offer, officially making him a restricted free agent. Of course, they could rescind that at any time to clear the cap space if they feel like Gordon Hayward, or if they need something for in another scenario, they can clear the space by renouncing that and renouncing him, and he'd become an unrestricted free agent. So that's probably going to be how it goes. Kelly Olynyk will be free to join whomever he wants.
Yeah, and this to people out there, I saw some people on Twitter saying, oh, this is a signaling of something, of a trade they might have.
No.
No, just them offering a qualifying offer is not a big deal. If you happen to see that they have rescinded the qualifying offer, then you know something is in the works. Now, the only kind of the nightmare scenario is that Kelly Olynyk takes a drastic pay cut and accepts the qualifying offer, and then the Celtics cap space would just be ruined.
That ain't happening, because he's going to get paid far more than the $7.7 million qualifying offer.
Is there any chance that like a team on the first, like very second of free agency could offer him, like say they just really wanted to screw over the Celtics or knew that the, like Kelly Olynyk was their primary target, that they offered him a deal like a second one of free agency? Would that, could the Celtics still rescind it after that, or they'd have to go into the matching process?
They could say that they weren't going to match it.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot about
then
that.
Then it would have to be like they'd have to make that decision before they got the decision from Gordon Hayward, before they learned whether they got Paul George. Like I think they would much rather have a Linux restricted free agency drag out a little longer, and so that they can see whether they can afford him and whether they have the money for him before they make that decision. So, yeah, that would probably be irritating to them if that does happen very early. And a team like the Nets could. Like the Nets have a lot of cap space. They're obviously trying to add young guys with value. And Olynyk is one of those guys. So it's possible that that happens. But, I think the Celtics have plans to use that cap space. They hope to use that cap space. And if they do, Olynyk is in all likelihood a goner.
There is a scenario here. So let's kind of play this out just a little bit. If they don't feel like they need the cap space, if Gordon Hayward decides to go back to Utah and they trade for Paul George, let's say they do that, and they're not going to use that cap space and they want to fill out their roster. So what happens with Kelly Olynyk is they make the qualifying offer, which is just over $4 million. And that is something he technically could agree to. He'd play for that for 1 year and then he'd be unrestricted. But he declines that, in all being realistic. He declines that. That makes him restricted. That gives the Celtics the option to match. What happens at that point is the Celtics have a hold. And for those of you who don't know what cap holds are, you know what bird rights are. The Celtics can sign people above the cap. But in an effort to kind of prevent teams from doing what they used to do, which is go out and sign up until the cap and then go to their restricted their free agents and then go above the cap to sign them, they took that loophole out and they gave a cap hold, an approximation of what a guy is worth. There's a $7.7 million cap hold. That space is reserved for Kelly Olynyk. So if they don't think they're going to need that space, they can sit on that and let his free agency play out and whatever. If another team swoops in, if the Nets swoop in and say, we're going to give you $15 million next year, immediately what happens, as soon as he signs that offer sheet, there is a hold. That hold becomes that offer. So that goes from $7 million to $15 million on the Celtics books until they decide whether they want to match or whether they want to not match. So if the Celtics feel like they need that cap space, or they would need that cap space at some point, they would basically have to decide in that moment that Kelly Olynyk officially signed his offer sheet with another team, they would have to say, okay, fine, we're going to pay him that $15 million, or say, nope, forget it. We will not match. And then all of it comes off the books. It goes down to zero. And Kelly Olynyk is holding up a jersey at the Barclays Center. So that's the quick version of how Kelly Olynyk's free agency could play out from a Celtics financial perspective.
That was informative and fascinating, and more Kelly Olynyk talk than I thought we were going to get into tonight.
Let's talk about Summer League. The Summer League roster.
Let's do it.
The Summer League roster is out, and it does not include Jordan Mickey, who is very likely done in Boston. It does include Jay's favorite player. What's the name, Jay?
Shimmy Ogilvy, baby.
There we go.
The man whose name I can pronounce.
The one guy whose name you can pronounce. It also...
Jay, who's that guy from France that they got the dancing bear? What's his name?
Gershon Yabusele, man.
That's... Hey.
Ooh, two for two.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's got it. He's got it.
I'm big time these days. Yeah. I'm big time. I'm learning.
That's all we ask for.
It also includes the infamous now Scoochie Smith, who is... I mean... How can you not love Scoochie Smith? He's no Scoonie Penn, but he's Scoochie Smith.
Shame to all the Twitter people out there who voted for Scoochie Smith over Scoonie Penn in Jay King's poll today on Twitter.
That was embarrassing. Nobody understands. Like, Scoonie Penn was a college god. He was the best player on a team that also featured Michael Redd and made the Final Four.
Yep. Shameful.
These kids these days.
God damn it, people. Urgh. Respect Scoonie.
Kids these days. It also involves a bird, a Jabari bird, and when they face the Lakers have themselves a Bryant, so it's going to be Bryant versus Bird.
Whoever buys a Jabari Bird Celtics jersey would be hilarious. Like having a number 26 Bird jersey, it would throw everyone off.
I would love it. And I might do that.
Well, I do own a Fab Mello RIP, Fab Mello jersey.
Pouring out for Fab.
Yeah. For a while, my brother was just into every gift he got me was just a kind of a goof jersey. So it was Fab Mello for a while. I have I have a Red Sox jersey that just says Apollo across the back, and then the number's 13. Because me and my brother were huge Apollo 13. Yeah, so
fantastic.
The novelty jersey is definitely a market that I think is people need to exploit because there's a lot of jokes that can be made there.
Absolutely. I love it.
The Backard family going deep into those shirtsy jokes.
What I want the most is an Alabama football one, Gump 44. That's the one I would pay big money for.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that.
I think it's better in theory than in practice.
You bite your tongue, Jay King. I also got I got my brother a Chet Stedman jersey, Chicago Cubs.
Oh wow! From the rookie of the year, that is a jersey I can get behind. Chet Stedman was a god for the rookie of the year Cubs. I mean, he was no Henry
the
Bungo,
big.
But he was up there.
Stinking cheese.
I get the feeling Corrales doesn't know what we're talking about.
I don't.
Wow.
Never seen the movie Rookie of the Year.
I've never.
Well, let me take this few minutes to explain to you the entire plot.
Nah, it's all right. I'm already on Wikipedia.
This kid breaks his arm, becomes starting pitcher for the Cubs.
I do remember the premise. I do remember the premise. Like, this little kid becomes, like, a fireball pitcher. You can all of a sudden throw 100 miles an hour, right?
He would grow up to be the guy in American Pie who dates Tara Reid.
Oh, hey, good for him. He came to life. Good for him.
The phrase funky butt loving is mentioned by a doctor, and there's some pretty hilarious hijinks throughout the way. A fantastic watch. I would highly recommend it.
Maybe that'll be part of my August-September NBA downtime TV watching or Netflix. And
the big three, too. The big three,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
Don't forget about
three.
That.
I got to watch the big three.
Yeah.
It feels like we've entered the Jam's junk drawer section of the podcast,
yeah.
So I have some things I want to talk about. Did you guys see Jimmy Butler today?
Giving out his phone number? Yeah. Did anybody use that? I did not.
I called it, and it just got his voicemail. No. His mailbox was full. I couldn't even leave a message. But I did see he was FaceTiming, like, random people. Oh, I saw a clip of that. So shout out to Jimmy Butler for just – apparently he is about that life.
That was a wild move. Like, that was as misguided a move as I've ever seen in a press conference.
I don't know. It worked. I don't know. I don't know how that panned out for him. Maybe he just –
he probably got some wild text messages today.
That could like, not have been. That had to be like a phone. These guys switch their phones out a lot, right? They don't keep the same phone number all the time.
Tom Brady doesn't.
Oh, man, really? You went there?
I mean, it's true. I'm just saying the truth.
It's an accurate
I love
statement.
Tom Brady. I don't think any of that crap holds, but I mean, it's true. He just doesn't stick with his phone for very long.
Right. That's a perfect transition to the next part of the junk drawer is that there's the old clip resurfacing of Gordon Hayward saying that he can't stand Tom Brady, which
of course
I find
can.
To be hilarious.
He was
hilarious.
A Peyton Manning fan, and Tom Brady kicked Peyton Manning's ass. Of course
it's
he
great.
Can.
It's just – it's because it just makes me realize how sad it must be to be someone who grew up as a Colts fan.
I think there's a better than that. I mean, that's kind of like a – it's going to be interesting that when Gordon Hayward comes to Boston and he ends up inevitably meeting Tom Brady, he's going to look at him in the face and be like, I don't like you. But I think the anecdote in Adam Himmelsbach's piece about Gordon Hayward at Butler was even better. I'll read you the direct quote. Hayward was always a fierce competitor, regardless of the stakes. Collier recalled a time when Stevens heard two of his players arguing loudly in the locker room. He rushed in to make sure he did not need to break up a fight, and he found Hayward and a teammate having a disagreement over a physics equation. Nerd!
That's I'm here for level it. Nerd stuff.
I love nerds. Nerds are great. I'm all for it. Apparently, I just found this all tonight. Apparently, Gordon Hayward's a big nerd. He's real into, like, PC gaming. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a World of Warcraft account. I'm not saying that
It's too bad. It's too bad they don't have any more space for Jonas Jerebko.
I know.
Because Jonas Jerebko would be probably Gordon Hayward's best friend.
He could come back on a veteran minimum.
Oh. He could.
Now we got an esports franchise in the mix.
There we go.
I'm all for adding nerds to the team. Maybe him and Jaylen Brown can play chess together and become like a buddy cop duo.
Okay. So what do you guys think about Tanner Ainge coming out, running for Congress in Utah, and saying he wants Gordon Hayward to stay with the Jazz? So I've got a hot take here.
Oh!
And...
Hey, man, all politics is local. The great Tip O'Neill said that. All politics is local. He's got to do what he can.
That's true.
To win his local district. I think he tweeted at Gordon Hayward today mentioning, like, the millionaire's tax in Massachusetts. He's playing dirty. He's doing some dirty tricks, but I like it. It shows
that
Tanner Ainge wants to win.
But if I'm in Utah, I can't trust a politician who doesn't root for his father to sign the best free agent on the market. Like,
no, he cares about the local people of Utah District 7.
He so cares about those people, he will even eschew his own father. He will throw his father out to fight for those people.
If I'm his campaign manager, I already sent out the tweets. Like, I put my face on a Stayward poster. All politics is local. He's got to win those votes in that district.
But
it doesn't matter.
If I'm in Utah... I can't trust a guy who doesn't root for his father to sign the best free agent. Like you could be a Jazz fan because you live in Utah, whatever. Like, you should still want your father to sign the best free agent on the market, even if he plays for the Jazz.
No, you got to fight for the
people. I understand.
I'm with Jim.
Like that. But give me some goddamn loyalty, people. Give me
their
loyalty.
His loyalty
is to the people of Salt Lake City.
No, fuck the people of Salt Lake City.
You're clearly not
going to
win the election with that kind of attitude, Jay King.
That's like me saying I'd rather like people in Boston thrive than my fucking brothers. Like, come on.
Are you running for Congress in Boston?
No, I just think that is
politics, man.
That is the most fraudulent thing you can do. Rooting for your own father to miss out on the best
game. All of politics is fraudulent. It's about winning.
Yeah, yeah, but
oh man, I'm not hiring you to be on my campaign, man.
No, I would be unreal on a campaign. Like,
no, you just proved to me that you absolutely wouldn't be.
No, no, people would respect my stance.
You would be my secretary of pronunciation because you know those two guys on the what's their names again? The French guy,
Jimmy Ogilvy and Gershon Yabusele. God bless
you. Go.
God bless them. God bless America.
Okay, maybe you're back on the team.
but I'm like half serious about this. I'm not at all entirely serious, but at the same time, like I would have an issue with a politician who takes his city's star basketball player over his family. Like, come on. Don't feed me lies, but don't feed me such blatant lies that I can't believe.
It's not like Gordon Hayward is going to like make it so Danny Ainge can finally eat a meal. I think Danny Ainge is going to be fine if he doesn't sign Gordon Hayward. Think of how much hurt the Utah economy will have if the Jazz plummet.
Yeah, that Utah economy, I'm sure it's thriving as it is. Salt Lake just booming right now.
Hey, you're going to be in Salt Lake soon. You're going to have to report back to us. You're going to have to ask the local people how they felt about Ainge taking Gordon Hayward over his father's success.
I'm hoping to be the one who videotapes people burning Gordon Hayward jerseys. That's my goal when I'm in Salt Lake.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a goal.
Salt Lake Summer League starts soon. Hopefully by that time the Celtics will have constructed a championship team and a few of these guys who are on this roster will be playing for somebody else for all we know. All right, that's the show, unless Jam swoops in. Jam?
I got no more junk in the drawer.
No more junk in the drawer? Okay. We'll let Jam go eat his double cheeseburgers, and we'll wrap up the show. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating us 5 stars. If you have not subscribed, go to wherever it is you get your podcast and subscribe. And I know for sure we got one more subscriber today on Twitter. So thanks to you. I forget your name. This is horrible that I didn't even pay attention to the name. But thanks for listening anyway. And thanks for giving us 5 stars. 5-star rating goes a long way. A little review that tells people why we're awesome. Do that, and that helps us out a lot. The numbers have been amazing lately, so I want to thank everybody sincerely. Thank you for listening on a regular basis. It's been amazing. The numbers are doing great. Better numbers than we've done at any point, really, consistently. How long have we been doing this show? Year and a half? Season and a half? It's been amazing. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Tell your friends. Tell everybody about us. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millie's.